Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick with you today. Mary Jennings Hagar served three tours in Afghanistan as an Air National Guard major. On her third tour, on July 29th, 2009, she was shot down over enemy lines while on a medevac mission.
We were shot down in bad guy territory, and we were holding our perimeter, and we were being covered by these two beautiful Army helicopters, these little Kiowas, with no room for cargo or people, but they have great guns and recon pods. And they got us on the radio and said, hey, we're going to have to boogie out of town because we're bingo gas, bingo fuel, and we're out of bullets and rockets, so we're not going to be able to help you guys anyway. And they said, but we have a crazy idea. We'll land next to you if you want to hang on. We'll take you out of here. And so we said, that sounds better than being abandoned. And they landed and ran out, jumped on the skid, straddled the rocket pod mount and held on tight and, you know, covered their egress with my rifle.
Mary Jennings Hagar, or MJ, as she's known, was awarded the Purple Heart and the Distinguished Flying Cross with Valor Device, just the sixth woman in history to receive the DFC and only the second to receive it with that Valor Device. But her fight didn't end there. After her tour, MJ became the lead plaintiff in the ACL lawsuit challenging the military's combat exclusion policy for women. The policy was ultimately repealed by the Obama administration, paving the way for thousands of women like her to join combat ranks. But the road toward inclusion and equality in the military hasn't been easy. Take the recent scandal with the Marines, where it was discovered that men had been sharing nude photos of their female peers. Marine Corps Commandant General Robert Neller recently called on male Marines to do better by the women they fight alongside.
How much more do the females of our Corps have to do to be accepted? What is it going to take for you to accept these Marines as Marines?
Well, shortly after that scandal broke, John Hockenberry spoke with MJ Hagar about her experience as a woman on the front lines and her own experience with sexual assault. They're both part of her new book, Shoot Like a Girl, One Woman's Dramatic Fight in Afghanistan and on the Home Front.
I was approached by the ACLU to help them in their fight against the unconstitutional ban on women serving in combat roles. My stepdaughter had come to me actually literally the day before I got the phone call from the ACLU in tears, saying that someone had told her that she wasn't allowed to follow her dream of becoming a U.S. Marine because she was a girl, because that was a boy's job. And it sounds like a made-up story, but I looked at her and said, I don't know what yet, but I'm going to do something about that.
So many people in the military describe the security that they feel in that unit, regardless of gender, when the chemistry is right and
yes,
everybody loves everybody else and you're going for broke.
Absolutely. You've probably seen it referenced in movies and such that when the bullets really start flying, then you don't end up fighting for the mission or fighting for your country. You're fighting for the person next to you. You know, the Air Force and my unit in particular, you know, I don't even think of it as they integrated me into the unit because I just was part of the unit. I never felt like I needed to be introduced and integrated into the unit. They do it right. They train us together. They hold, you know, all of us to the same standard. They don't treat us differently. They don't point out the fact that I'm a woman and I'm different or anything like that. So I think that's the key to successful integration without disrupting unit cohesion. You have unit cohesion problems when you throw people together who are untested and don't know each other. Because when you're in combat and the bullets are flying, you have to be able to anticipate the people next to you. You have to know their strengths and weaknesses. This person on my right side is a great marksman, so I don't have to worry about that. But this person on my left side is not a good marksman, but they're a good tactical thinker, so I don't have to worry about enemy movements on this side or whatever. You know, you have to be able to understand your own battlefield.
And so when you're a patient in a military facility, you're a completely different kind of target for, I guess, unit cohesion breaking down. You had a sexual assault
right,
in a context that had nothing to do with combat, right?
And nothing to do with the fact that I was a woman, honestly. A lot of people think of sexual assault as a classic movie and TV rape scene that is usually about sexual gratification. And in my experience and in the research that I've done shows me that the sexual assault epidemic in the military, first of all, there are more victims that are men than women, and that's hardly ever talked about. But it's not the sexual gratification that you picture from the movies. It's more of a sense of entitlement. You know, I have power over you, so I should get to do whatever I want. And that was how it was in my situation.
Was it harder to survive that than it was to survive the crash in Afghanistan?
I would say that had a bigger impact on me than anything in my career. I left the Air Force when that happened to me and joined the Air National Guard because in the Guard, I could still be in the military. I could still fight for my country. I could still be a pilot, but I could also have more control over my life. I could pick where I lived. I could choose my own doctor. I could do those types of things.
Your little stepdaughter said she wanted to be a Marine and was told no and came to you crying.
Right.
Given that experience and all that that produced, what's your reaction to this Marine photo scandal business?
Yeah.
Naked pictures and
I think it's a great example of why we need to integrate women into combat roles, to be honest. And that's not a talking point. That is truly how I feel. I think it was Admiral Mullen, and at the time he was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who said that as long as we bar women from the most elite jobs in the military, then we create this duality in the military where there's like a warrior class and a support class. And until we open those up, even if no women are able to make it into those roles, but until the military leadership sends the message to the military in general that we're not going to bar people from applying for jobs based on their gender, which in other words is saying stop making decisions about how you treat people by their gender, we're going to have this cultural problem of just like I talked about with my sexual assault, where there's this sense of entitlement of, well, we're the guys taking the fight to the enemy, so you should thank us for our service and see how you can support us and what you can do for us. And if what you can do for us is let us post, you know, inappropriate pictures of yourself online, then we're going to do that because we have the right to do that because we're fighting for your freedom. And that's a very small group of people who feel that way, by the way. I don't think this is representative of the Marine Corps at all.
But it's the openness with everybody's a part of the culture that is the suppression mechanism for naked pictures and these impulses that are sort of testosterone.
I'm glad you brought that up because in my book I talk a lot about the first unit that I was a part of, and it was only one or two people who were openly discriminatory against me, but it was the people who watched it and turned away and started doing something else or didn't say something to defend me again that really broke my heart and made me feel like I wasn't part of that unit and then I needed to go find a different home. So Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps Ronald Green released a statement about this that I thought was brilliant. And it says, stand up, speak out, and be a voice of change for the better. Hold those who misstep accountable. We need to realize that silence is consent. Do not be silent. It is your duty to protect one another, not just for the Marine Corps, but for humanity. And that's absolutely true that it is a very small number of people percentage-wise who feel like they have such a low opinion of women that they can do these things. They can post such horrible comments and pictures and degrade people, fellow Marines, you know. But it's this majority who's afraid to speak out. And I get it. I understand. I've gotten death threats for my work, and the person who broke this story has gotten death threats. So it's not a comfortable thing to do, to stand up for what's right. But the more of us who do it, the fewer people are going to be able to intimidate others into silence.
What about the experience of being in the military do you miss that surprises you the most?
You know, I would say that it's the camaraderie. I think the camaraderie I miss, but I'm not 100% sure the camaraderie was what I thought it was, to be honest with you. I felt very much accepted and like the guys and women that I flew into combat with, I would take a bullet for and they would take a bullet for me for the most part, especially in my last unit. But to be honest with you, ever since I've started this journey, I have had a lot of people threaten me, not people that I knew, but like strangers. And I've experienced a surprising lack of people standing up and defending me. They send me private messages and say, oh, that was horrible what that person said to you, or good for you for standing up against that person. But they don't put themselves out there as much as I would have thought they would have. Although I have to be honest, that's probably been my experience my whole life. I've always been someone who didn't really, and I don't know that it's a compliment to me, but it's probably not very smart, that I usually step out and say something when something's not right. And I've suffered some consequences from that. And I've noticed that not everybody's like that. So I do miss the camaraderie, but I'm not sure. I may miss what I thought was the camaraderie. I definitely miss the adrenaline. Although I'm a mom of little kids now, so I'm trying to resist the temptation to buy another motorcycle and get back into that.
Mary Jennings Hagar, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mary Jennings Hagar is an Air Force veteran and author of Shoot Like a Girl, One Woman's Dramatic Fight in Afghanistan and on the Home Front. She spoke with John Hockenberry.